Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Karen Yim, and I'm so thankful to be able to share with you today. So let's pray together before we start. Lord, we thank you for this new year and this opportunity today to fellowship in your word with all the ladies here. Please be with me to speak clearly and for all of us to consider how to run the race of faith with endurance. We pray your Holy Spirit would help us to listen, understand, and obey your word for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about anxiety and walking through the book Anxious for Nothing by John MacArthur. In September, at our first meeting, we looked at what anxiety is and studied Matthew 6. Then in October, we studied Philippians 4 and how to put off anxiety with prayer. Then in November, we learned from 1 Peter 5, where we were exhorted to be anxious for nothing by an attitude of humility. In December, Sarah taught us about Mary, who was anxious for nothing as she knew the scriptures and believed. So today, we will look at what it means to put off anxiety with an enduring faith. George Mueller, a man who lived by great faith and prayer in his ministry, caring for orphans, said it well. Where faith begins, anxiety ends. Where anxiety begins, faith ends. So let's read the passage today, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn to it or just listen along. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. While the author of Hebrews is unknown, many consider the original recipients of this book to be Jewish Christians living in Rome around 67 to 69 AD. They were going through great persecution. It says in Hebrews 10, 32 to 34, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Continuous trials and suffering are so hard. They were struggling to endure in their Christian commitment. Some perhaps had abandoned their faith and returned to Judaism. To these suffering and persecuted Jewish Christians, the exhortation was to endure in faith. The book of Hebrews can be organized into some large sections. Hebrews 1 to 2, Jesus is superior to angelic beings. Hebrews 3, all the way to 10, 18, Jesus is superior to the Mosaic law. Hebrews 10, 19 to 12, 29, where our passage is today, it's a call to faith and endurance. And then the last chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, our concluding remarks. Hebrews is rich in references to the Old Testament, showing how Jesus is superior to angels and to Moses. He provides a better rest. His priesthood is superior to the Levitical priesthood, and he is a superior high priest. The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to show who Jesus is so that believers would not lose heart, but stand firm, anchored in him. In Hebrews 2:2, it says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. They were not to drift from their faith, but to pay close attention and guard their salvation. So the whole of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus. So what is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 to 3 describes faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So faith is trusting in God as the creator of the world. Faith is trusting in the scriptures, God's revelation and communication to mankind. It's unseen, but it is true. The word of God says it is so, and so I believe it. So in Hebrews 12, 1-3, the word endurance is repeated 3 times, one in each verse. So endurance means steadfastness, constancy. And although there are 3 subordinate clauses, there's actually 1 exhortation, which is also the main metaphor. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the running imagery is a common one found in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 9, Philippians 2, also Galatians 5, 7, as well as here in Hebrews 12, the Christian life is referred to as running a race. Here the emphasis is on running the race of faith with endurance. So believers endure in faith. So let's look at 3 ways that this passage tells us how we are to run the race of faith. So the first, from verse 1, run the race of faith surrounded by witnesses. And the second, from verse 1, run the race of faith without encumbrances. And then the third, from verse 2, run the race of faith looking to Jesus. So the first point, run the race of faith surrounded by witnesses. So in Hebrews, the first verse, Hebrews 12:1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it refers to the people of faith listed in Hebrews 12. One after another, they are examples of men and women who pleased God by trusting in his promises despite hardships and persecution. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, all the way to Rahab, to the judges, David, the prophets, and many others. You could say that we watched them run the race of enduring faith. And now they are surrounding and watching believers run the race. And not just like spectators, but as witnesses who proclaim the power and the promises of God. So these men and women of faith have gone before us, but they had not received what had been promised, the coming Messiah, the one who could defeat and crush the head of the seed of the serpent and be the Savior. Yet they trusted in God to be faithful. Hebrews 11, 39-40 says, in all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had promised something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. These verses are like when we're watching a movie, and then the character on the screen turns to face the audience. Breaking the fourth wall, he speaks to the audience, God has provided something better for us. So all these witnesses are mentioned, and then the audience is brought into the storyline. Believers are included now in this group of witnesses. We have put our faith in Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. On this side of the cross, we have been given the salvation that had been longed for. So we are doubly blessed. We read and observe these witnesses of the past, and we also have witnesses in the present. Look around. We are surrounded by one another in the church, which looks so ordinary, yet is a supernatural, spiritual body of Christ. When we have anxious thoughts that lead us to doubt, remind yourself of the great cloud of witnesses before us, mentioned in the scriptures, and the great cloud of witnesses in our lives who are surrounding us and exhorting us to faith. Practically, this is an encouragement for each one of us. Do we have someone that we can share our anxious thoughts with so that they can witness about Christ to me and exhort me to run the race with endurance? Am I praying for others, wisely and lovingly pointing them, being a witness to them, to the glory of God and to his truths in Scripture? So surrounded by witnesses, believers endure in faith. So point number 2, run the race of faith without encumbrances. So in verse 1, it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. This sounds like this is a command, but it's actually a clause. So to run, we are to lay aside every weight in sin. In the Legacy Standard Bible, it reads, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. So it's assumed that there is weight in sin. The focus is on the runner streamlining and making his running in the race more efficient and effective. The runner may run with weights while they train, but when the actual race starts, they take those off to run unfettered, unrestrained, and undistracted so they can run well. It's a ridiculous picture if a runner is at the starting line with bags and accessories wrapped around his body, even entangling his legs and feet. A runner would get rid of anything like that. This might be any like a mass, a bulk, a burden. These can be neutral things. The weights are not necessarily sin, but they can include sin. The weights can also be good things that have become the main things, thereby distracting or monopolizing our heart's desires and motivations. Sometimes good things in our life become weights. As Paul Tripp and Pastor Isaiah often say, a desire for a good thing becomes a bad thing when that desire becomes a ruling thing. What is the sin that so easily entangles us? For many of us, there are common temptations, but we know that each of us has tendencies and sins and thought patterns and worries that entangle us. We are called to lay aside those weights and sins. And this is not talking about perfection, but a continual laying aside that is required. So this requires knowing ourselves and our inclinations toward the weights and the sins. In marriage, we can be encouraged to be a student of our spouse, to know and to love our spouse even more. I also think we need to be students of ourselves. We must see ourselves clearly, not to be excessively introspective or self-centered, but for the purpose of running the race with endurance. What trips you up? What is your heart's desire that leads to sins that you come back to again and again? Ultimately, we need the Lord's help in this. Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If we're not certain about what those weights and sins are in your life, this is a great topic for discussion with a trusted Christian friend or small group sisters, not just to share for the sake of being open, but to be helped by one another for the purpose of laying it aside, and for the greater purpose of running the race of faith with endurance. So surrounded by witnesses and unencumbered, believers endure in faith. So the third point is run the race of faith looking to Jesus. So verses 2 to 3, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such a hostility, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So the first two points of remembering that witnesses surround us and then laying aside every weight and sin, those are subordinate clauses. So the main clause is the exhortation to let us run the race. So this final point about looking to Jesus is both a subordinate clause and a command. So we are to be looking to Jesus while running the race. Again, in the Legacy Standard Bible, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, which is more like what this Greek word means, which has a connotation of turning our eyes away from other things and fixing them on something. We're not just saying, oh, look, there's Jesus, let's see him now. No, it's a fixed, intentional, constant gaze on Jesus. This is about how to meet the conditions to run with endurance well. But it's more than that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the end goal of the hope we have in the race itself. Actually, the whole book of Hebrews is about this very point. Jesus is, again, superior to the angels, to Moses, to the former Levitical priesthood. He is a superior high priest, bringing a better covenant in a better sanctuary, a better sacrifice. He is superior. And here it says that he is the author and perfecter of faith. Not just that he is the Messiah, but as God, who was with God in the beginning, He was the originator of the redemptive plan, and he finished it. He initiated, and he finished it. This is Jesus. We can only run the race with endurance if we fix our eyes on Jesus. We keep him in our sight, our vision, and allow him to be the example for us to follow. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is a continuous verb. We are to be constantly fixing our eyes on him. And then to emphasize this point of fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author steps out of his own metaphor of running to say in verse 3, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." So here in verse 3, we get the one command from the section, consider him. Again, this sounds to us like something perhaps casual or optional. You can consider this or not consider this, but here it is a command, and consider has a meaning of like meditate. It's not a casual consider him, but it's a command to meditate on Jesus. The Old Testament is full of ideas on how we are to meditate on God. It is on his commandments, and it is an intense, intentional, all-encompassing meditation. Psalm 1:2 says about the blessed person, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." We are given plainly what we are to meditate on. Jesus endured the cross and the hostility from sinners against himself. Jesus endured the cross for the joy of bringing about that plan of salvation, and it was not easy. He despised the shame of the cross, but he endured the cross. He endured and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Romans 8:34, it says, Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. As Jesus endured, we are being called to run the race of faith with endurance. Recently, I've been enjoying the hymn, "Be Thou My Visions," my vision in my devotionals. The first stanza reads, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day and by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light." If we are tempted by our anxious thoughts, let's fill our vision with Jesus day and night. Even in this, we pray for help. Because it's not if when temptation for anxiety comes, but it's when those times come. So even as I was preparing for this message, God graciously helped me. It's a story, it's kind of a long story for another time, but some of you know, I became a first time, my oldest son had a grandchild, had a baby, and so I became a grandma. And we spent our holidays in Virginia with them. We ended up spending what I thought was going to be a wonderful holiday time, which it ended up being, but of course, you know, God gave me an opportunity to exercise my faith, to practice, activate my faith, and to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. So we ended up spending Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in the hospital because of a medical situation. So what began is what we anticipated is a wonderful holiday time together. It ended up being something different. And I certainly was reminded that I need to fix my eyes on Jesus at that time. And thankfully, as I was meditating on these verses, I was able to like be reminded of that quickly. Yeah. So again, surrounded by witnesses and unencumbered, believers endure in faith by fixing our eyes on Jesus. So for those of us who have not put our faith in Christ, you must look to Jesus for salvation. There is salvation in no one else. Put your trust in him, the author and perfecter of faith. The gospel message is clearly stated here in these three verses. Because of our sinful state apart from God, we're not able to save ourselves. But Jesus came and died on the cross so that we might have new life by believing in Jesus as the Son of God. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the promise of God. If you are a believer, are you mindful of the witnesses who surround you, past and present? What entangles you? What weight and sin should you be laying aside? How are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Do you take the command to consider him or meditate on him to heart? So one concrete practical way described in the book, Anxious for Nothing, is that we should put off anxiety with praise, and specifically through the reading and praying of the Psalms. The Psalms are ways that God has given us as models of prayer and praise to the Lord. Psalm 116, 1 through 7. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. When I face doubts, temptations, and anxious thoughts, I want to use scripture that God has already laid out for me in the Psalms to practice preaching right godly attitudes and words to speak to God for myself. And how can we directly activate our faith? When faced with anxious thoughts, we praise the Lord. We practice faith through worship and praise. We recite God's attributes and remember his work. So in closing, let's read Hebrews 12:1-3 one last time. Therefore, maybe if you're able to, you could read it. We could read it together, all of us together. Okay. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Surrounded by witnesses and unencumbered, believers endure in faith by fixing our eyes on Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the long-awaited one, and we are so privileged that our blind eyes were opened to see him clearly. Lord, we can run the race of faith because of Jesus, and so we ask you to help us to run the race of faith with endurance, surrounded by faithful witnesses of the past and even today among brothers and sisters, and also laying aside any weight or sin that has entangled us. We want to run the race of faith with endurance. We look to Jesus, fix our eyes on Jesus, and meditate on him day and night so that we can see his example clearly of faithfulness even in the midst of betrayal and suffering. Lord, we are weak in ourselves, and we need your help. Help us to endure in faith as we, surrounded by all of our anxieties, we give them to you by holding on to faith. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.